So I hope everyone had a good Christmas again. And Pastor John asked me this week if I would speak. And of course I accepted. And it's just a short message that God had laid on my heart. And I just enjoy speaking here at my home church. And like I told the earlier service before, I said, y'all aren't as scary as other places that I've spoken at. And I believe, you know, at my home church, I can count on you to give me grace. So thank you very much. And you know, most of the time when I speak, it's kind of a semi-testimony of what God's done in my own life. And I love doing it because it causes me to reflect on the goodness of God back in my life and to keep Him front and center of my life all times. And we're just a few days from 2026. I got a question. How many of you look forward to the new year? Okay. How many of you dread the upcoming new year? Or how many of you just don't care at all? I'm kind of one of those people who is optimistically cautious. As I've gotten older, I usually reflect on the passing year, the good and the bad. I also wonder what this upcoming year has in store for me. Is this return of the Lord? Maybe it will be a good year. Maybe it will be a hard year. Maybe a mix of the two. In December of 2007, I got word from the Georgia Professional Engineers and Land Surveyors Board that I had passed my exam and I was now a Georgia registered land surveyor. I was so excited. After years of taking online classes from Middle Georgia College, my work and studying had paid off. It was a dream come true that I never thought I could accomplish. Surveying is my legacy. My grandfather was a registered land surveyor. Also an uncle. I have three cousins. My father, brother, and another uncle, and most of my cousins have worked in land surveying at some point in time. It's something I love. God had opened an opportunity for me. And while I was in my mid-30s, to go back to school to pursue my dream. I knew this was God's plan for my life. I felt like I was on top of the world. I just got my surveying license. I was getting my own office in the upcoming year. And I was put in charge of all the boundary surveys. I was making the most money I'd ever made in my life. What a great year. One of the best of my life. However, I did not realize what the upcoming year, 2008, had in store for me that would change my life forever. My main scripture this morning is from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God does have plans for us. Do you realize that? How comforting is it to know that God wants the very best for us? Most of you have either read, watched the movie, or heard about the book, The Pilgrim's Progress. It was written by John Bunyan in the 1600s. If you haven't, you should read it or watch the movie. It perfectly describes the Christian life about how we keep straying off the path and the plan that God has for our lives. But God never gives up on us. He sends help to us in various ways to find His path for our lives again. If you have given your life to Christ, these are some of His benefits. We know as Christians we are not exempt from the hardships of this life on earth. I mean, you can look at the lives of Jesus' 11 disciples. 10 of them were martyred for their faith. And John was exiled to the island of Patmos. Why should we be special? We live in a fallen world. People have free will, and we have an adversary, the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and have a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." There are a lot of circumstances and things in our life that we face that we have no control over, which may derail us from God's plan. Stand firm in your faith and trust God that He will guide you back on course. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus offers His followers peace, not by removing troubles, but by giving us strength to endure them. As Jesus' followers, He equips us to face persecution, anxieties, and temptations with confidence. We are given divine power to overcome. Now let's dive into the good times. You know, regrettably for me, I have in the past drifted from God when everything was going well. It was almost like I was saying, "I don't need you, God, right now. Everything is great. I'll holler back at you when things turn bad." But that should have been the time that I was most close to God, giving Him praise for His blessings. Hopefully now, that has changed for me. As I continue to grow in my relationship with the Lord, be intentional and make God a priority every day. Back to my story. In the late summer of 2008, my great job and lifestyle ended. The Great Recession. I lost my job, and for almost 2 years, I would not be able to find another full-time job. It was through the grace of God that I did not lose my home or my vehicle during these years. During that time of being out of work, on paper it looked impossible to pay the bills. But God made a way for me. It was hard. It was real hard. Some of my friends gave me work on their construction projects. I did yard work for people. I would even hang out at a local small restaurant called The Rooster in the mornings, hoping to find someone who needed help that day. My father occasionally sent me some money, and my mother helped me with groceries. A few people at church hired me for small jobs as well. It was during this time that I started seriously tithing. I figured I didn't have enough money to pay the bills anyways. I might as well tithe. Let's put it in God's hand. After a couple of years, God blessed me with a job at Athens Clark County as a water meter reader. It was the lowest paid position at the county. There wasn't anything left after the bills were paid, but I was grateful. I worked as a meter reader for about 3 years. And during that time, my relationship with the Lord grew daily. I have so many testimonies of what God did for me during this time, but those are for another day. After years of trying to find another job in the land surveying field, it finally happened. God is awesome. I contacted a friend who is an engineer to see if I could use him for a reference for my upcoming job interview with Hall County Engineering Department. He said, "Why don't you come interview with us?" I said, "Your company is hiring?" He said, "Maybe. I'll try to pull some strings." And I was hired about a month later. Even though those 5 years were the toughest I'd ever lived through, I'm glad that I had that experience. I'm pretty sure that I wouldn't be standing here behind this lectern otherwise. God was there, not removing me from the mess, but helping guide me through it. He was teaching me daily to trust in Him rather than trusting in myself or others. I truly believe that God used those rough years to help me grow in my faith. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Trust in Jesus. He is not only my Lord, but He is also my friend. Matthew 13, 3 through 15. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you to do. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." What a mighty God we serve. When my life has faded, I look forward to seeing Jesus. Hopefully, and I'm sure He will, let me give Him a big hug. The free gift of salvation that Jesus has given us, to live with Him in eternity, Him being our God and we being His people. Revelation 21, 3 through 5 says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then He said, who sat on the throne, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." How awesome is that? I was talking to my father last week on the phone, and he was sharing with me that he and my stepmother had become friends with a gentleman from India who had moved in across the street from his home. He was currently running a convenience store, a store about a mile away. My father said the man had cooked, he and his wife, supper a few weeks ago and pointed out to me that there had been no meat in it. He thought that was strange. My father told me that the reason was the Indian didn't eat meat. And I told him, I said, well, he may be Hindu, and they kind of discourage eating meat. And my father said, Hindu? Will he go to heaven when he dies? I said, no, he will not go to heaven if he has not given his life to Jesus. My father said, that's awful. He's a good man. I told him it was awful. And it was a good opportunity for him to share Jesus with his neighbor. If everyone could go to heaven apart from Jesus, then what was the purpose of the cross? Why would Jesus have needed to come? John 3:16 through 18 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son in the world, not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of his only begotten Son of God. Don't miss Jesus. Don't miss heaven. If you haven't given your life to him, you're not going to make it. You will spend the eternity in torment and hell, separated from God. I have a rubber bracelet, which I occasionally wear, and it has four symbols on it. Yeah, I know you probably can't see it from here. But the first symbol is a heart. Second is a division symbol. Third, a cross. And the last one is a question mark. And this bracelet is called the four. And I would wear it hoping somebody would ask me what the symbols meant. But no one ever does. So I would started wearing it just to, as a reminder and how simple it is to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And let me quickly go through the symbols. The heart symbol on this bracelet represents that God loves you unconditionally. He knows you and wants to be close to you. He wants the best for you and offers you a fulfilled life that goes beyond death. The division symbol represents, by nature, we do not ask about God. We mistrust him and we go our own ways. That is what the Bible calls sin. Sin separates us from God and the life that God has in store for us. The cross symbol represents God's Son, Jesus Christ, who took our place on the cross, taking the consequences of sin upon himself. He died, but he rose from the dead, and in doing so, he bridged the separation between us and God. And lastly, the question mark symbol represents that God has restored relationship between us and God. We can choose to live with God by accepting this gift through faith, by trusting him. Would you like to do that today? I love it. short and to the point. That was the good news of Jesus Christ. I believe that we are in the last days mentioned in the Bible. This upcoming year, be on your guard. We need to be reading, studying God's Word so that we are not deceived. With the rise of artificial intelligence, new technologies, and the evil in this world, it's hard to tell what is real and true anymore. But we know who is real, faithful, and true, Jesus. Read your Bible, be in prayer, and stay close to the Lord. No matter what this upcoming year has in store, He will never leave you or forsake you. And I'll close with this. This morning, as I was walking out the door, coming to Woodlawn for the early service, I happened to hear on television this verse, and I was like, oh, it's perfect. It goes with today. So let me turn to that right quick. It's just a short verse. It's in Matthew 6, verse 34. And it says, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray. Father, just want to thank you, Lord, for this past year. You have given us, and we look forward to the upcoming year to continue your work that you have given each one of us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. May we draw closer to you each day and give glory to you. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.